Welcome to the InvestorMail Woman of Action show. Today's guest is Michaela Venterploeg, and I'm so excited to have her as a guest. It might look a little bit different in here because I'm actually in my office today. What I love about Michaela's story is that she's a mom and her background is actually dental hygienist. So no, you don't have to be a real estate investor or a real estate agent or have a financial background in order to grow your portfolio. She has properties in Canada and is also buying in the States. And look, Rexy's even coming in to say hi. The beauty of being a real estate investor, you can bring your pet to work. Now, if you like real estate investing, make sure to subscribe to my channel and hit the bell to be notified because we release a new video every single week. Now let's get started. Michaela, welcome to the Woman of Action show. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Mel. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. Now, Michaela, this is your first time doing a podcast. Is that correct?
Yes. Yay. I consume a lot of podcasts and I've had this on like my bucket list of things to do, but this is my first time, so I'm a little nervous.
Oh, well, you know what? There's absolutely nothing to be nervous about. And congratulations on taking action and getting a little bit uncomfortable, because many of us, the first time, I remember my first podcast as well, and I thought, oh, I didn't say the right things and whatnot, but you know what? It doesn't matter. People just want to hear about you and hear your journey. So thank you so much for being here. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So my husband and I, we've been investing in real estate for about 4 years. We started in 2017. And the reason we got started was because my husband actually had a stroke when he was 30 in 2015. And all within like 9 months of him having the stroke, we got married, got pregnant, had a baby, and he wasn't able to work anymore. So we had a lot of life changes happen. Wow. And we knew that with him not able to work, we needed to figure out something. We needed to figure out something for us to have the same income or more income prior to his stroke if we wanted to continue the life that we wanted to live. So real estate kind of came in there. We listened to a ton of Bigger Pockets podcasts, and you know, lots of people in the States seemed to have been doing it and they were making a lot of money and it seemed pretty easy. So we kind of like jumped headfirst into our first property, which was a triplex in Ontario. Yeah, all of our properties right now are in Ontario.
Okay, nice. Now were you still on mat leave at this point?
Yes, I was still on mat leave. So getting financing for that was like a whole other story, with John not working and me on mat leave. Anyways, we ended up, John's parents helped us with that property, helped us get financing with that property. And that property has cash flowed. It's like a cash cow for us. It's cash flowed like crazy. Nice. And because that one was cash flowing, we were able to buy another property, a single family property, which we, like looking back now, when we first bought our triplex, we really didn't know what we were doing. When we bought our second property, it was a single family. We still didn't know what we were doing. And it was in terrible shape. We renovated it and we refinanced it, which now we know is the BRRRR method, you know, buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat. So we ended up doing that, not knowing what we were actually doing. And then we were able to buy a fourplex with that property. We refinanced that one. Then a year later, come back to our initial property, our triplex, because the market had increased so much, we were able to refinance that one and we bought a fiveplex. So it just like, our money's making babies. We just keep.
I love that saying. That's fantastic. So how many units is that now?
So we have four properties, and within those properties is 13 units in total. And now we do have one other property under contract, which is scheduled to close next week, and that's our first cross-border property, so it's in Michigan.
Wow, so many things I want to dig into. That's fantastic. Okay, so you're getting started, husband has a stroke, unexpectedly you decide to take that you need to do something different, and now you're doing this BRRRR method, although there wasn't a name, or I know back then I was the same, we did it, but we didn't attach a name to it. Now, you were doing all the renovations yourselves, and did you know how to do this? And was it you? Was it John that was doing the renovations?
So we didn't do the renovations at that time. John was still not feeling 100%. He's very handy, but we didn't do that. And I was like 8 months pregnant at that time with our second baby. So we did hire that out. So we bought that property. Actually, it was a bank repo, which you don't find a whole lot of those in Canada like you do in the States. So we bought that for $80,000. We put, I think, $20,000 into it, maybe $25,000. And we were able to rent it for $1,250. So we definitely got the 1% rule on that.
Yes.
And then we refinanced it for $160. So we pulled all of that money out. So yeah, we didn't, we ended up, we had enough lift there and we had enough wiggle room to hire that work out to somebody else, to a contractor.
Now, how did you find these deals? Are you dealing with an agent? Are you finding them off listed? This one was a bank repo.
Yeah, so three of them were MLS listings, and one of them was a private sale. Our fourplex was a private sale that we just found it online somewhere, and we connected with the sellers. We went out for dinner with them, and we like connected personally. We had a lot of things in common, so they ended up doing the deal with us. And what had happened was they did a kickback mortgage for us, a kickback deal. So what happened was it needed some work, but we didn't have the cash to do the work on that property right up front. So what he said was, why don't you pay me a little bit more for the property so you can roll it all into your mortgage, and it'll only cost you a little bit more in your down payment. And then what I'll do is when the property closes and I get all that money, this is the seller talking, when I get all that money from the bank, from your mortgage, I will kick back $20,000 to you. So on closing, we actually had $20,000 in our pocket that we could use to renovate that property.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's great. I love how you're getting creative here. And that's the thing with real estate. There's so many different ways that you can fund a deal and get creative with it. Now, when it comes to renovations, you outsourced it because you just couldn't do the work, although you were capable of doing the work. What kind of renovations are you doing to get these appreciation that you're getting? Is it just, are we just looking at countertop here? Are you adding rooms? What does that look like?
So kind of in between. We're not doing like a full gut and, you know, building new rooms and layouts and everything, but it's definitely, the properties we're buying definitely need some work. So it's usually take out the floor, add a coat of paint, usually like redo some of the electrical or plumbing if it needs to be done. We've been redoing bathrooms entirely just because they've seemed to be a mess in rental properties. Right. And then we'll put a new kitchen in, just an IKEA kitchen. So we try to do kind of in the middle.
Okay. And do you keep it standard from one place to the next, or do you change it every time?
We haven't been, just because we were so fresh. But now what we do is we do the same flooring everywhere. We do the same paint colors in every unit. We're kind of keeping it a little bit simpler that way. So if another unit comes up, and you know, we might have some extra flooring left over from a previous unit. So we try to do that.
Yeah, I think it saves a lot of time and a lot of effort to keep it the same. Yeah. Once you find a color that you like, that it goes well with everything, and once you have a flooring that you like, that it's it doesn't get wrecked very easily from tenants, it's just nice to keep the same stock. And exactly right, if there's a sale on it, you can bulk, buy in bulk, and then you have some left over. Okay, good.
We do buy some stuff in bulk as well.
Okay, excellent. What has been your biggest roadblock? So some people starting off are thinking like, wow, like you've already have all these over 10 doors, you're doing all these things, you're a mom. How are you doing all this? How did you get through some of your biggest roadblocks?
I guess like our biggest roadblocks would be just like knowledge, but we've overcome that just by listening to podcasts, reading books, surrounding ourselves with other like-minded people, joining mentoring programs. And then I would also say, like, we joined your mentoring program, Mel and Dave's mentoring program. And that's one of our biggest roadblocks was, once we kind of ran out of our own money, how to finance more properties without having to JV them, without having to joint venture or partner with somebody else, and then having to share control with that other person. So financing was a big one, but now that we've joined your group, we realize that we can utilize other people's money or other people's, you know, equity in their homes and get them into an investment situation where they can invest with us, and we can return their money at, you know, hopefully a better interest rate than what they're getting just sitting inequity in their home, like lazy money, or if it's just sitting in a savings account, or even if they have a large line of credit, we can borrow that line of credit and pay them back enough that covers their interest rate on that line of credit. And they're also making a little bit more. So we've kind of learned how to overcome the lack of financing or the lack of funds for down payments by also creating a win-win situation for other people. It's not just us asking or begging for money. We're offering somebody, an investment opportunity.
Right. Okay, so let's dig into that a little bit more. So no joint venture partners, and that's one way that you can absolutely grow, and there's benefits to that. But why did you decide, you mentioned you didn't want to share the decision making, but why did you decide not to go that route? Because that probably would have been maybe even easier for you, especially if you didn't have the knowledge piece quite yet before joining the program. Why was it important for the both of you to solely own your properties?
Well, joint venturing, when you listen to the podcast, joint venturing is a huge strategy that a lot of investors use. And we definitely considered it, and we had like joint venture agreements kind of like drafted up, and we talked to a couple other people about doing it. But when it came down to like looking at properties and running numbers, we were already kind of like not butting heads with other people, but we saw things differently. And the more John and I talked, we're like, if we're already not agreeing on, you know, what to offer on this property, or what renovations to do now before we even own the property, I think it would just cause less stress to do it on our own. And the people we were reaching out to were friends, and the good friends of ours, and we didn't want that to ruin our relationship.
Right.
And I feel like to do a joint venture, I guess initially you kind of need to do it with somebody that you know and that you trust. You don't want to just do it with a stranger. And I didn't want to ruin a relationship with a friend or family member. So I just felt like if there's a way to do this without involving people that way,
right,
and let's do it. And now what we can do is we can offer them a way into these investments, not by jointly owning the property, but by investing some of their money, and we pay them a set return every year.
Right. And I love how you say creating a win-win. And that's the thing with solely owning properties. You can make it a win-win. They're happy. They're going to make money. You're happy. You get to make money, and you get to keep the asset, and you have 100% of the decision making, which is very, very powerful. Now let's get into this creative financing. And there's so many different ways of doing it. There's owner financing, there's promissory notes, there's private funds or secured funds like RSPs or TFSAs. Which one do you have a preferred method, or what have you been leaning towards?
Explored seller financing. We've made a couple offers on properties hoping to get seller financing. It hasn't worked out for us yet, but that is definitely one that, you know, we feel confident in. It works right for everybody. But what we've done so far is promissory notes. So I really like promissory notes because they're kind of not necessarily attached to one single property. So we got a promissory note from a lender, and it was a chunk of money that we can put into a property. We did tell them what property we're going to put it into. That's the one that we're closing on in Michigan next week. We told them, like, this is what we're investing your money in. This is how much return you're going to get. And this is why it's a good deal. And we kind of went through our spreadsheet and showed them why it's a good deal and all the numbers. But we kind of reassured them too. It's like, your money's not only tied to this property. Your money is just invested in us. And we have these four other properties that cash flow, that have appreciated. We also have our own primary residence. We have TFSA savings. Like, if for some reason a black swan event happened and this Michigan property, I don't know, burned down and we couldn't get the money back from it, our lenders are never going to lose money, because the last thing we want to do is not pay back a lender. We'll get it from another property. We'll refinance or sell another property to pay them back. Because if we don't pay a lender back, we're never going to get a loan again. Nobody's going to want to invest with us. So that is our number one thing, is we are never going to not pay a lender back. We will do whatever it takes. If it's selling our own home, we will pay you back. So that's what I love about promissory notes, is that it's not tied to one property. It's actually, to me, seems safer because you're spread out over all of our investments.
And I love that, because a lot of people will think that it's not safe or it's risky. And well, it's risky if you're investing with the wrong person, perhaps, yes. But again, it's and I love how confident you are on, hey, I will always pay it back. And that's always the mentality that Dave and I have always had from day one, is I will sell my own home and go live in one of my rentals before I and not pay back one of my lenders, because reputation is everything, and that's going to help your growth. And I love how you're thinking the same as well. So you purchased in Ontario, and now you decided to go outside of Canada. Like, that's huge. Why did you even decide to explore that?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, because the market in Canada has increased significantly over the past couple of years. It's just really hard to get into anything that cash flows or that makes sense right now. Also, the landlord-tenant laws in Ontario are really tenant-leaning. So it's hard to increase rent significantly, especially if you have low-paying rents. It's hard to, you know, if you have a tenant that's not super cooperative or isn't taking care of the building or is bothering other tenants, it's really hard to get them out. So it's just a lot of things that are kind of tying landlords' hands here in Ontario. So it was getting hard for us to find a property that we wanted to invest in. And then we started surrounding ourselves with other people who are Canadians and are investing in the States. And it always seems like the US has better numbers in terms of getting into properties, and their rents are better, and a lot of things seem to be better in the US. But it was just like, how do we do that from here? How do we do that from Canada? How do we get through these barriers? We have to talk to all the right people. But anyways, like I said, we surrounded ourselves with people who were doing it, and we just kind of talked to them. We got as much information as we could. And we just kind of, again, this is kind of seems to be the thing we do. We just like jump right in and just do it and hope it works. But in my experience, every time we just jump in, it always works. Like, real estate always ends up in the long run working out.
It always increases value. There's fluctuation, but you can literally draw a line, which is fantastic. So you really got uncomfortable here at the end of the day, right? You're doing something different. But what I love about you, Mikayla, is that you've always been willing to take that action. You're always willing to invest yourself as to grow and learn. And I know that you've done many great things. You're part of the Action family, and you're also one of our Platinum Mastermind members as well, which of course we've done so many creative things as part of that as well. But how much has that played in your journey to be able to either learn from our own mistakes or learn from other people's mistakes and have those kind of connections that you've been able to create?
Huge. Like, just being able to, like, John and I are always talking about real estate, always talking about what we can do next. And a lot of our immediate family and friends aren't necessarily involved in that. And they know we do it, but they're not interested in hearing about all like the ins and outs of it and what we're excited for and what we're doing next. So being able to talk to other people about what we're doing, what they're doing, why we love it, it just, I don't know, it kind of like cements it in your mind or in your life that this is where you should be. This is what you should be doing. It's working for other people. It's working for you. And just kind of to keep going, it kind of like keeps you invested all the time, literally and figuratively.
Right. Now, have you had any, because I certainly have, any, call them what you want, naysayers, negativity, haters, that kind of either slowed you down completely, that you're like, okay, I can't do this anymore, or that slowed down your growth? I know most of us have, and you don't have to get into details here, but is that something that you have also come across because you're invested outside of Canada? You're now doing creative financing. Have you heard people saying, can't do that, or it's impossible, or people won't accept it, or you won't get funding, anything like that?
Yes and no. Like, nobody within like our immediate circle has been like, what you guys are doing is ridiculous. You shouldn't be doing this. But when, like, online in communities like that, when you're like, this is what I want to do, I've heard somebody else did this, they did it, like, you know, seller financing, that's what I want to do. There are people out there that are like, that's impossible, you can't do that, like, just give up, essentially. But we've learned, like, if somebody says no, just move on to the next one. Somebody else will eventually say yes. And then within our immediate family and friends, nobody has been super negative about it. We do get a lot of like, oh, I don't want to deal with tenants, or I don't want to have to be bothered with that, or how would I do that, kind of that kind of thing. And I do like to encourage our friends and family and a lot of my coworkers. I'm like, you should be doing this. Like, you don't want to work anymore. Like, this is what you should do. And it's really hard to convince people sometimes to do that. So I have a hard time because I want to share with my friends and family what I'm doing. And right. I want them to be doing what I'm doing because it's working. But I have to realize that it's not for everybody. And that's where you know, the private lending comes in. Whereas, okay, if you don't want to buy your own property, let me help you in another way. Let me help you by investing in my properties. Right. So yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot of negativity, but yeah, there's definitely people out there that are kind of like, I don't really know if I believe in what you're doing.
Right, right. And that's normal because they just don't understand the ins and outs. I used to be one of those thinking, this can't be done until I found out more about it. But what I love about it is that there's always two different ways. If you love real estate, or at least you see the value in real estate, you can do like we're doing, a little bit more active, finding the deals, investing in the deals. Or if you just want to be more or less, in a sense, the money partner who's investing, but not having to find the property manager, not having to do all those different things that we're doing. What I love about real estate as well is that you can get more and more passive as well. You're investing, you're looking at your first property outside your area. That means you're not going to be doing your own property manager. You're not going to be the one speaking with tenants. Yeah. How do you even do that, right? So I'm sure some people are saying, well, how do you do that? How do you find tenants? But you really just outsource those kind of services, correct?
It's definitely, we manage all of our own properties. We like find our own tenants. We do everything when it comes to our properties. So this is definitely out of our comfort zone, kind of handing over the control to somebody else. And it's so far away. Like, it's so far away for us. I think it's like an 8-hour trip. So it's not like if our property manager isn't doing a good job that we can just drive down there and check things out. Like, that's not going to happen. We have to put all of our trust into people at a distance. It's exciting at the same time because it's like, yes, we're getting another unit, but we don't have to worry about it either. So right. I'm really excited. I hope it goes well, because if it does, I think that might be the pushing force to maybe start outsourcing our properties here in Ontario.
Okay.
Nice. So that would be, we're not there yet.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's very neat. That's very neat. So we have recently done that. I mean, we used to manage all of our own properties, just Dave and I, when we first started, for years. And then we had our own internal property management company. And now we finally decided to just be fully hands off, more passive investors, hired a property manager that oversees everything. We're not very involved. They're in charge of making sure that the places get fixed and the tenants and maintenance and all of that. And it is really, really nice to be able to make that shift. But it is a little uncomfortable, and you are putting your trust into somebody else. But in order to grow, you have to do that. Otherwise, you're gonna be bottlenecked.
Yeah, and it's gonna be hands off. You're not gonna be doing any of the work yourself, but it's still not 100% passive. Like, you're still gonna have to manage the manager, make sure that they're doing things that you know you want them to be doing, that they're handling tenants the way you would like them to be handled. But I think the property manager that we have in Michigan, I have a lot of confidence. They have a lot of references that have said they've been doing a really great job. So I think things are going to go well. And I'm thinking really positively stepping forward here.
That's great. That's great. And I guess I was going to ask your future goals, but I guess that kind of sums it up, is to become more passive and maybe continue invest
in the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, I think so. After 1 year, we'll see how things go. Like, when it comes time to do our taxes, like, how much money can we bring back here? How much does it affect our income and sort of thing here? But yes, right. I think absolutely, if things work out and we can do things in the States where numbers make more sense, where we're totally hands off, it also gives us an excuse to go to the U.S. We can go there, we can expense it. So yeah, I think definitely moving forward, we would like to continue in the U.S. Not to say that we will stop investing in Canada or Ontario, but right now I think our focus is not here. It just doesn't, the numbers don't make sense right now.
Right. Well, it's nice to be able to shift, right, throughout your investing journey. So that's fantastic. That's great, Michaela. Now, a couple questions of action for you. We're going to move on to that section. What advice would you give your younger self?
Okay, in terms of investing, and this is not necessarily real estate, but 100% I would tell myself, invest early and often. So you hear that all the time. People say that invest early and often, but like when you're like 19, 20, you don't care about that. But like looking back, if I would have just like, you know, put $20 in every month or every week back 15 years ago, I would be so much better off right now. But I didn't do that because, you know, I was at school, I was on student loans, I was working minimum wage jobs. But it's like, rather than going out and buying a t-shirt to go out to the bar on Friday night, I could have just invested So I would say invest early and often. And then number one, I would say is like mindset, 100% mindset. Do I think that I could have invested in properties when I was 20 years old? Back when I was 20 years old? No, absolutely not. I would never have thought I could do this. I would look at, you know, other real estate investors or successful entrepreneurs and business people and think, wow, I would love to be doing what they're doing, but I can't do that. Like, there's no way I could do that. But now, you know, fast forward 15 years, it's like, but now I know those people. I surround myself with those people and they're not superhuman. They just, you know, set a goal, put their mind to it, made the right decisions at the right time and just like did it. And right. That's like the number one thing I would tell and I want to instill in my kids. It's like, if you think that you want to do something or you see somebody doing something that you want to do, like there's no reason that you can't. Just figure it out, figure out how they did it and just do it.
It's true. Fear holds us back in the believing that I actually can. Now, what's your background? Share with your background with everyone so that way they kind of know.
I'm a dental hygienist, actually. So
okay, so like, nothing like, related to all these things.
Not at all. No, nope, nothing.
That's great. That's great.
Question number two, Michaela. What's your number one tip you'd give to someone who wants to get started in real estate?
Okay. I would say if you're young and you want to get started in real estate, like house hack. Number one would be house hack. So that means buy a property, whether it be a property with multiple bedrooms or a duplex, and live in part of it, but rent the other rooms or the other units out to somebody else. And that person or those tenants will pay your mortgage. And essentially you don't have a mortgage payment anymore. You own a house, you're getting appreciation and principal pay down on it, but you're not paying anything towards it. And what that bill that you're not paying for that mortgage, you can save that to buy another property for down payment. So that's what I would do, number one, if you're young. Number two.
You didn't do that, Michaela, because it was a little bit further in your journey, right?
Yeah, I wish we did, but we didn't. Number two, if you own a property already, you know, you have a family and you've been there for a little while and you definitely don't think you can house hack or don't want to house hack, I would say look into see how much equity you have in your home. Do you have, you've probably paid, if you've had it for a number of years, you've paid a good chunk of principal down. Your house is probably appreciated, especially in this market. Yes. See if you can pull some money out and use that money as a down payment on another property. And yes, it'll increase your mortgage payment, but again, the tenants will be paying that increased mortgage payment. So again, it's not coming out of your pocket.
Yeah. And I love that. If you're taking that money and going to buy a boat with it, would not suggest it, but if you're taking that money, investing it in income producing assets, you will be so much further ahead as opposed to just leaving that money stuck in the mortgage where literally the bank is making money off it instead of you.
Yeah, it's lazy money. Yeah, I don't have any lazy money.
No.
Love it. And Michaela, thank you so much for being a guest on my show. How can people get a hold of you?
Instagram. I've just kind of like gotten into the Instagram social game here for our real estate portfolio. So you could reach us at vdp.properties. So that's VDP as in Victor David Paul.properties.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Michaela. I love how everything you've accomplished so far. And I love how you don't have to be an expert in the field to be able to do all of this from being a dental hygienist, you said?
Yep.
Hygienist to having all these properties and going in the States. That's amazing. Congratulations on all your success.
Well, thanks, Mel. Thanks so much for having me. This was a great first experience.
Oh, well, you were fantastic. So congrats on taking action, getting a little bit uncomfortable and being on my show.
All right. Thanks, Mel.
Michaela, thank you so much for being on my show. I love that even though you didn't know it all, you still took action and you went ahead and bought those properties. And if you'd like to see other women taking some massive action, make sure to check out this next video. I'm Investor Mel, and I'll see you there.